The Copywriter Club podcast is sponsored by AirStory, the writing platform for professional writers who want to get more done in half the time. Learn more at airstory.co/club.
So what if you could hang out with really talented copywriters and other experts, ask them about your successes and failures, their work processes, and their habits, then steal an idea or two to inspire your own work? That's what Rob and I try to do every week at the Copywriter Club podcast.
You're invited to join the club for episode 12 as we chat with freelance copywriter and marketing expert Jennifer Hayvice about conversion copywriting, how to do customer research, and the impact of publishing a book on her business.
Hello. Hello, Rob. Hello, Jen.
Hey, Jen. Kara.
How are you guys doing?
I'm good. And yeah, excited.
So Jen, to start, I would love to hear about your work with horses, because I know that's a passion of yours and I want to tie it to what we're talking about. So if you could tie and connect your work with horses and that hobby and interest into business, what have you learned from your work with horses that has helped you in business?
That's maybe a question you haven't had a lot on podcasts.
I haven't, but it's actually a very good question because, and it may still happen, but at one point I was working with my trainer to put together some resources for women riders and to help them have better relationships with their horses. And so there's just so many actually interesting life lessons that you can take from working with horses. And there are things that not only just life lessons, but I've applied to my work and writing. So things like clarity of the message, making sure that you're being very direct in your communication. Because especially with animals, they need very clear communication. They need to know what you're talking about. And they get very frustrated when you're giving them lots of different cues and mixed signals, which is something that happens on websites, as we know, and other forms of communication that we work with. So, yeah, it's interesting working with animals and that relationship and really needing to be honest and transparent and direct because they can totally see right through you.
Jen, I am curious, sort of stepping away from the horse training thing, how did you get started as a copywriter? You've got a lot of big clients and people who depend on you for the copy that you do, and a lot of people saying really good things about you, people like Pep, Laja, and others. How did you get started, and how did you get to where you are today?
Oh, that's very kind of you. It's funny. I started writing online, probably about almost 8 years ago, and really got into blogging, of all things, and was writing some social commentary online for myself and for some other sites. And as I was trying to promote that and get some of my writing seen more, I was learning everything I could about social media and how do you promote yourself and get yourself out there and everything to do with online marketing. And what ended up happening is people started to come to me for that. First, just friends, but how do you do this? How do you do that? And so it evolved to getting paid, helping people doing some of their social media work. But I really wanted to get back to the writing. And so I sort of fell into the whole conversion rate optimization thing and conversion copywriting and just dove headfirst into it and wanted to figure out how I could use that to not only sort of help my own writing, which I've sort of forgotten about these days, but then other businesses. And so that's really kind of where it started. But, before that, I just was kind of all over the map. I mean, we lived all over the world, and, I didn't have sort of a direct career path to this. I just finally got to a point where I wanted to create something for myself. And so that's where it all started.
And when you say you fell into conversion copywriting, what do you mean specifically? I mean, did you take courses, or did you just start reading about it and implementing with your projects? How did you transition into the conversion copywriting world?
I think what happened, and I don't remember exactly, but I think what happened was, in trying to transition more from helping small businesses with their social media and that piece of things to how can I help them with their actual copywriting, I think just in my own need for more education, how can I do this better? I came across, the CRO principles and then copy hackers, and it just, something just clicked with me where I just loved the idea of being able to mesh both the quantifiable and sort of the non-quantifiable. So the art and science of words, I guess. So once I tripped upon that in my, web surfing travels, from there, I just, once it clicked, I just started reading everything I possibly could, and then taking courses and taking on more clients, starting out small, but really trying to implement those principles and then going from there.
Jen, you have, I think, a really defined, or at least in my opinion, a pretty well-defined process for how you engage with a client and do customer research. In fact, you've written a book about it, which we want to talk about in a minute, but I'm really curious about that process of customer research, how you came about sort of figuring that out, and what you do when you take on a project in order to figure out what it is that the customer needs to hear in order to click the buy button.
Yeah. So all of that qualitative research, the customer research end of things, is really a byproduct of having, jumped into the CRO world, I guess you could say, and learning from people like Pep and Joanna Wiebe and, a lot of those experts out there. So for me, I'm kind of a data nerd as far as or a research nerd as far as the qualitative research is concerned. So I really enjoy that element of it. And it just really made sense to me to dive into what customers are thinking and how they're feeling as the basis for how you are going to write your copy. So when a prospective client comes to me, I let them know that doing that customer research is a first step before we'll even tackle any copy. So it's about figuring out the messaging and doing things like online surveys, pop-up one-question surveys, interviews, just going online and seeing what other people are saying about similar products, things like that, things that, you and Kira do every day. But I just really make it part of a condition on working with me.
And how do you position that? Because I know from conversations with you and just from my own projects, sometimes there's pushback from clients who don't totally get it. And they're like, oh, I don't want to pay extra for the research. But like you said, you need that in order to do your job. So how do you position it in the proposal or in a conversation so that it makes sense and you can still get paid for that part of the project?
That's the million-dollar question.
Please tell me.
That makes this the most valuable episode ever recorded, then, if you can answer it.
$1 million episode.
I know. Gosh, if I could answer that, you know, perfectly, then I
But you've done it. You've done it.
Yes. I mean, I have. But that's the big challenge, and that's something that I come up against constantly, and, you know, something that I have been talking to a lot of different people about, not clients necessarily, but, you know, other copywriters and researchers, and just trying to get a sense of, you're asking me, but how, you know, other people are positioning it. And, you know, I think part of what I've realized is that it's partly an education piece. So it's about educating the client up front, you know, just when you're talking to them. But also it's an education piece on putting content out there into the world that really walks people through the value of it and why it's so important. So when I have people come to me, I don't really give them an option in the sense that, you know, I may break out the proposal, like there's a discovery phase and then there's the copy phase or the optimization phase. But if you want to work with me, you can't really do one without the other. And so there are clients that they do just want the quick win and they don't want to go through the full process. And what I've realized is those are not really the ideal clients for me. So it's partly a positioning thing as well. And that's something that I'm going to work on more this year in terms of putting out more content that is educational, but really thoughtful in terms of, you know, why this is so important. And if you value this as well, and you can really understand the importance of doing it, then I'm a good fit for you.
I want to really dive into that a little bit more. Like, why is it important? So many clients, I have the same thing, you know, when I put together a proposal and send it to a client, oftentimes they'll come back and say, this is great, but we just want the copy portion. You know, let's save $1,500 and not do the research. Right. And at that point, you know, by the time that conversation's having, I've sort of lost the battle. You know, the customer doesn't right. understand why it's so important. So let's talk about that. Like, what do you get out of the research that informs the copy that makes it so worthwhile paying for it?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, how you need to position it, and this is something that I'm working on, is doing the research and really understanding what your customers are feeling, what they're thinking, what their motivations are, why they're coming to you, how aware they are of your product, your service, your brand, really informs how much of an argument you need to make on the page and each step they need to take through your website or through the customer journey. And so I think the argument is that by doing at least a certain amount of it, you know, I think depending on the client and the project, there can be different levels of customer research that are appropriate. But at least doing a certain amount is going to give you a lot better chance of having a really good outcome. So, you know, as copywriters who understand the CRO process and understand the concept of heuristics, you know, you can go in and without doing any research, I'm sure you can pump up the copy and make it, you know, more clear and succinct and readable and interesting. And so that in and of itself may very well give you a quick win and get you some results. But I think over the long term, if you want to be making really meaningful, thoughtful changes to what you're doing for a much better outcome over the long haul, you really need to be doing that customer research.
This reminds me of a conversation I was having this past weekend with a copywriter friend who is incredibly successful, great writer, grown in business, and doesn't spend a lot of time on the research. And she's admitted that. And it's just not part of her process. And I think a lot of copywriters, you know, we've all been trained in a similar way. And we've read Jen's book, so we're doing the same things. But a lot of copywriters are not focused heavily on the research. And they probably could still be seeing success and may not think otherwise. And so right. If you could just suggest, hey, try this one tactic and just see if it changes your writing process or the results, what would it be? Would it be the survey? Would it be the interviews? Would it be data mining? Just kind of like a baby step for them.
You know, I would say what I've found a lot of success with, especially at the beginning, when you're dealing with maybe smaller clients or clients that aren't used to having that piece of the puzzle that they have to pay for, spending at least some time just going online and doing some message mining, going, you know, to Amazon and reading reviews of comparable products, or it may very well, in fact, be the product that you need to talk about, and seeing what actual paying customers are saying about it, and pulling out the words that they're using and getting a better understanding of why they love it, why they maybe don't like it, what their objections were to purchasing, possibly, things like that, you know, and that doesn't have to take a crazy amount of time, but just doing that alone is incredibly helpful.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, some of the best headlines, well, you hear people that talk about headlines and say things like, well, you've got to generate curiosity, or you've got to use power words, or you've got to use sensory words. So you've got all of that sort of going on. But the best headlines seem to come from the customer's own words.
Yeah. I definitely think that going through, and if you are finding words or phrases that are repeat it over and over again, you can bet that that's probably going to be a home run for you. I mean, if not in a headline, in some aspect of the copy, because it's clearly resonating with people, and it's what they're thinking about in terms of that product or that offering. So I think that that can be really helpful. And you know, I'm not discounting the sort of creative art piece of putting the words together. I do think with the whole advent of CRO and the affinity with data that some of that gets lost. And I do think that that's a really critical component. I do fear that we're getting to a point where we're all sort of copying each other or losing track of creativity. And, you know, there are some intangibles that resonate with people that you're not going to get from Google Analytics or maybe even from message mining.
So are you suggesting that maybe not enough people are taking that data and the voice of customer and just really like inhaling it and then figuring out what it means and then creating something that's new based on what they've already absorbed, that we're just kind of taking the data and just like regurgitating it and putting out the same stuff over and over again?
Or maybe not exactly that, but you know, I think with the, and don't get me wrong, it is wonderful having these forums like Inbound and Growth Hackers and all these places where we can connect, because I think it is so important that we do that and we bounce ideas off of each other. But at the same time, we can get into a little bit of an echo chamber, and everybody's trying to do the same best practices and following the same types of rules. And a lot of times they do work and it's great. But, you know, I think that there needs to be a balance between following the data, following the research, going through a system so that, or a process so that you really understand what the customer needs, but then also infusing some of the brand's personality and really making sure that it feels human and that it's coming from a person.
I think that's a really good point when you say, you know, the best practices are there for a reason, but if everybody does the best practice, now it's common practice and best practices don't stand out. And that's where you really need to bring in sort of that creative element or the customer input and the things that you can, you know, get from the research process that maybe you don't get from the, use the, you know, one crazy trick, you know, headline or number seven will blow your mind kind of a trick that, you know, gets people. And once everybody's doing that, it doesn't work anymore. So I like that point a lot.
You know, one thing that I've been thinking a lot about and I would suggest to people too is whenever possible, I know we have very limited amount of time, but get out of that echo chamber and read other sources, you know, read things from, you know, social psychology and other areas of business and, you know, whatever it is, because, I mean, going back to the beginning of our conversation, you know, thinking about how I interact with the horses and what sort of lessons I've learned from them, you start to create these different connections and ideas that, I don't know, help come up with some new creativity in terms of how am I going to look at this research differently and how can I take what I've been given and, you know, maybe come up with some different ways to present it that's in line with the research, but is maybe going to be a little more new and innovative. Yeah.
We interrupt this interview for a special message from our sponsor, AirStory.
We are really excited. I've got a big smile on my face. We're so excited for our first sponsor of the show, AirStory, which Rob and I got to experience in beta a couple months ago. So, Rob, I know you've been in there. Can you tell me a little bit about what you like and what the experience is like so far?
Yeah, so with AirStory, there's actually a lot to like. And I'm just going to share one thing that I like the most about it. And we could talk about the awesome design. We could talk about the tools that are there for riders and how it helps you speed up. But the thing that I love is that when I'm working on a project, let's say that I have a client that needs me to ghost a blog article and it's on, say, internet security. When I'm doing the research for that, instead of having 20 browser windows open and copying and pasting things into a Word document or into a Google document and having all of this information scattered all around, AirStory allows me to clip little pieces of research or even large pieces of research. It adds it to the document that I'm working in, and it basically creates a card file that then I can mix and match and move around in order to create the document that I want. It's sort of like Scrivener, but with a much easier to use interface, and it makes working on a document a real pleasure. It's something that I think any writer who's listening ought to give it a try and see how it goes for them.
And you can get more done in half the time. Go to airstory.co/club to get started.
And now back to our show. So I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about your book. You know, okay. I'm a huge fan. I think I've promoted your book to my list like three times, you know, over the last year, whatever.
I know. I can rely on you for those.
And
those
I'm not getting a referral fee or anything like that. So I think it's a fantastic book. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, obviously there are a lot of books that people say, you know, writers should read, you know, Breakthrough Advertising. And a lot of people recommend Joe Sugarman's books, those kinds of things. But honestly, and I'm not trying to butter you up or anything like that, like the impact that your book has had on my business has been as big, maybe even bigger than all of the other books, you know, it really changed the way that I thought about doing research. And so let's talk a little bit about your book. And I mean, I know we've been talking about the research process already, and that's what your book is really about. Right. But why'd you write the book? And, you know, what should be the main takeaway that, you know, from somebody who reads your book?
You know, I wrote it because, like I said, I'm a little bit of a research geek. But at the end of the day, what I think gets lost for a lot of us is the fact that we forget that it all starts with the customer and that we need to listen to him or her, them, whatever. And that there's really sort of this big empathy component, or at least I like to think that there should be a big empathy component when it comes to what we're doing, whether it's design or the words on the page. And so that's really the overriding theme of it. But that's all well and good to say you need to listen to your customer and you need to have empathy and, you know, you should do all these things because at the end of the day, it's going to help you grow and get more sales and leads. But then you need to know how to do that. And so the hours and hours and hours and hours I've spent studying and reading what everybody else has been doing and what I've learned, you know, I found that I still had questions. What do you do when this happens? Or you follow the path down and then, gosh, I still have questions. Like, I'm not exactly sure. And so some of it was through my own process, things that I had kind of come up with and thought, you know, none of this is necessarily like groundbreaking or brand new, but it's just partly me following the extension of the continual questions I had, like, what do you do when you do have a pop-up survey and it's not working? And, you know, how do you take all this information that you're getting and parse it out and find the nuggets and then translate that into usable copy? So I just thought it would be helpful for other people since I had all those questions.
Oh, yeah. And I have a copy, too. I haven't shared it with my list because I haven't emailed my list in like 5 years. But if I do email them.
That's the first email so you're like going to send.
A book. Right. I'm selling a book. That's not mine. And I bought it because you're a friend. And then I read it and realized it's actually a tool. And so it's something that I keep close by because I have used it. It's just, I think you just simplify the research process so it feels easy and achievable and less overwhelming. And if like that's what I took from it. And so I'm just interested in how it has impacted your business, because I view you as this authority figure. And I wonder if that's directly related to the book or if it's due to partnerships with some bigger names in the industry, speaking gigs, if you can attribute it to anything specific.
I would say that a lot of it just getting my name out there just started with putting myself out there and connecting with other people that were bigger sort of leaders in the industry and learning from them and then sort of putting myself on their doorstep and saying, okay, so can I write a blog post for you? Is there any way that I can help out with X or Y to learn more about how they do things? So it was partly, you know, I think just getting your name out there and associating yourself with other influencers. And the book, you know, in all honesty, I did very little to promote it. And I really should do that. For me, it was more, I guess, in a way, sort of an authority building piece, just to have that out there in the world. It's on Amazon. I had it professionally edited. And not so much to make money off of it, but to sort of be an authority builder. And I would say that I've had at least one, actually maybe two clients that hired me because of the book. I was like, wow, you found my book? And then you read it?
They're on Rob's
That's
list.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sending my clients.
Like, and then they hired me. Yeah. Right, exactly. No. But anyway, so I, you know, I after like picking myself off the floor, you know, I was thrilled that that was something that, you know, brought in other clients. I mean, and that was, I guess, ultimately the point. But it's, I would say that that's putting your content out there, if it's really good and it shows that not only do you have a deep understanding of what you do, but you can also make meaningful connections. People do read. It, you know, it still amazes me, but people do read, and if they're looking for that information, they'll find it, and then they'll find you.
It seems to me that, you know, somebody listening to this might be thinking, okay, maybe a book is the way that I start to build my brand or my credibility. So let's talk a little bit about how easy or difficult it is to write a book. You know, what does the process look like? How much time did it take? Because I imagine, you know, even though you're a writer, you didn't just sit down and, you know, it's 3 days and you're done and you have this magical piece that's, you know, bringing in business. What does that process look like?
Well, you know, Rob, because you've just done a book as well, but enough about you.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about me now.
Exactly. You know, it was, it took a long time, and it's a pretty short book, but I forced myself to sit down, and even if it was, I'm just going to get out a page, you know, I'm just going to get out a certain amount and work through it. You know, I did. So it definitely was a laborious process. And I felt strongly that I wanted it, even though I was quote unquote self-publishing, I wanted it to be as professional as possible. So I not only paid a friend of ours who is another very good copywriter, James. He went through it and just gave me some high-level feedback, which was really helpful. So I did that. And then after that, I sent it off to an editor and had her go through it. And then I had to go back through it again and, you know, got it to its more or less final form. And then from there, it was just kind of a matter of, you know, doing the whole Kindle thing and create space and figuring out all those types of things, which is, there's so many resources out there. It's not difficult. It's just time consuming.
You mentioned that I have been going through the same process. And honestly, you know, writing takes a long time. You know, I hired a designer to work on the layout, which I'm really pleased with. But it's not difficult necessarily to get it onto Kindle and to create space, but it's time consuming and there's just so many little things. And it might be worthwhile paying somebody to actually go through that process if I ever do it again.
Yeah, you know, and then once you get done with it, it's a matter of, great, I got done with it. Now I have to actually spend all this time like trying to get people to buy it. I mean, that's a job in and of itself. So it just, it really depends. I mean, I think that if you're putting together an authority piece, but you really want to make money off of it, then I know people do it, having it on Amazon and Kobo and all those different places. But, you know, you probably want to sell it for more money through Gumroad or something like that and you know, attach other pieces to it. But again, it's really about figuring out what your ultimate goal is and the purpose behind doing it. So for me, it was less about, oh, I'm trying to really monetize the crap out of this thing. It was more, you know, how can I
make millions of dollars?
Yeah, how can I use it as an authority piece? And, you know, I guess I could say that, like, the one client that actually read it and decided to hire me, more or less based on that, was probably my biggest client.
Wow.
You know, in terms of project price. So, yeah, that was really great. And I didn't even realize that until after when I asked him for a testimonial and I sent him some like post-project follow-up questions, like what could I have done better? And, you know, why did you decide to work with me and things like that? And I was like, oh, wow, great. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely something that is valuable, but you just really have to decide how much time you have and what your goals are and if you really want to do it.
So Jen, now that you have the book is published and you have super fans out there, you have speaking engagements, past speaking engagements, you know, great clients, like where are you today? You know, and if you could just be real with us and just share, you know, Where are you in your business today? What challenges are you dealing with as someone who we view as like this authority figure who's got everything figured out? What's the real picture?
I feel like I have nothing figured out because that's probably totally not what people want
to
hear.
Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain.
Yeah. No, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's a little bit smoke and mirrors, but there's been a lot of times, especially over the last year or so, and you guys know because we're friends, where I just have kind of questioned, you know, what am I doing? Do I really want to continue to do the copywriting piece of things? Is it really feasible to just focus on, you know, trying to do the research? I don't know. Do I want to become a barista at Starbucks? I mean, you know, so not really. But but at this point, I'm kind of weirdly excited about the coming year in the sense that I've really trying to focus on just taking on projects that I guess that feel meaningful to me and that you know I'm finding that the clients have similar values to what I value in terms of, you know, the process and understanding that it's not all about the quick wins and, you know, how can we create messaging and copy that's going to really speak to your core audience and connect with them, not only just bring you more sales and revenue, which is mostly what's important to businesses. But, you know, there definitely are some clients out there that, yes, ultimately that's the big goal, but they do really care about their voice and creating meaningful messaging. So, you know, going forward, it's me trying to better position myself and focus on that. And, you know, I think to do that, I'm going to really try and write some more thought pieces. And
that sounds good.
Yeah. So, I mean, still hopefully good takeaways, but I'd love to elevate the conversation a little bit more out there in terms of what we do. And like I said before, trying to make some more connections, like how can we think about things more creatively so that we're following the data and we're doing our research, but we're also coming up with some interesting, innovative ideas too.
Oh, I like that.
I can't wait to see what you write. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I know. Now I just have to do it.
Yeah.
Do it
over the holiday.
Exactly. So Jen, at the beginning, when we started talking, you mentioned, you know, some of the places where you started your career, trying to find information, Copy Hackers, Conversion XL, you know, Pep's blog. Where do you go to find learning now, you know, to up your game? Where do you spend your time and how do you do that?
Wow. You know, I would say that what's probably helped me the most over the past year in particular, I'm probably spending less time going to those types of sites, even though I still, you know, read a lot. But I think what's been super helpful is having our cohort of copywriters, CRO people that we're tied to. You know, I communicate with you guys and, you know, other people in this realm and just getting sort of that constant feedback about what are you seeing out there? How does this look? What's your opinion on this or your perspective on that? Having that sort of community has been probably the most valuable thing for me recently, I would say, beyond just trying to go to some of those places online to read more. So I think being able to make those connections and having real life conversations, whether it's even like in Slack, which, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, equate to having coffee with someone, but there is that still that one-on-one connection where you're getting real-time feedback about things and the ability to just say, hey, do you have 5 minutes to hop on Skype and can we actually talk about something? I think that that's been the most valuable.
And that's something we've done a couple of times, just sort of chatting through, yeah. Sometimes it's a sales page, sometimes it's a pricing question, but I agree, when I've been able to jump on the phone or on Skype with you and just sort of work through some of the things I'm thinking, super helpful. You've definitely helped me improve some of the pages that I've sent to my clients, and I'm 100% on board with that kind of advice.
Yeah, well, and vice versa. I mean, I lean on you guys a lot. So, yeah, I just think that that whole community aspect and the whole connection thing is incredibly important. And it also helps to combat the imposter syndrome that I think most of us feel. I know I
yes,
feel.
All the time.
It's just all the time. It's just constant, like, and granted, you shouldn't necessarily be seeking validation for everything you do from somebody else.
I do. I do it all the time.
I know.
When you've written the book. Yeah, when you've written the book, when you've given the talks, at some point you're no longer the imposter, Jen. You're the expert.
I know. But you know what? It's we're human, and it's. I know, for all of us, men, women, it doesn't matter. I think it's a little bit more rampant for women, and just even if it's just every once in a while, being able to say, "Hey, can you look at this?" or "Hey, what do you think about this?" It's really helpful. And it definitely, I don't want to say it solves that. I don't think it ever totally goes away, but it doesn't make you feel so alone, you know?
Yeah. And I'll echo Rob. I mean, Jen, you have been a huge help with many of my sales pages. And I always kind of cringe when I share anything with you because I know you're going to share really good feedback that I know I have to implement. So I know you're giving me extra work, but it's always spot on and it always helps elevate the piece. So, and I think what I've learned from you too is just that I think you've become this authority figure, not only because of your book, but because you're humble enough to reach out to people in a collaborative way. And like Rob said, he's had calls with you. I've had calls with you. You make it really easy to help you, and you make it easy for you to help other people. And I don't think a lot of copywriters do that. I think that's what's really unique about you and I appreciate about you.
Exactly.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I guess that would be one thing I would say is help each other, because let's face it, there's a lot of terrible writing out there. this is a growth industry.
We're going to end the show on a really positive note. There's a lot of bad writing out
there. There is, which means that there's a lot of opportunity for people to get out there and help these businesses with their copy and grow. And so I really don't ever see it as a competition. I just feel like there is so much work to go around.
Yeah, that's true.
So we can all help each other.
Well, that's a positive note to end on. So, Jen, where can we find you online if we want to work with you or buy your book?
You can find me at makementionmedia.com and on Twitter at Jen Hayvice. And there's a link to my book in the footer of my website, but I also have a landing page for that I can share with you guys.
And it's available on Amazon. And I seriously can't emphasize enough, if you're a writer and you want to do customer research, start with this book. It really is that good.
Yep.
Wow. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time,
yes,
Jen.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Copywriter Club podcast with Kira Hugg and Rob Marsh. Music for the show is a clip from Gravity by Whitest Boy Alive, available in iTunes. If you like what you've heard, you can help us spread the word by subscribing in iTunes and by leaving a review. For show notes, a full transcript, and links to our free Facebook community, visit thecopywriterclub.com. We'll see you next episode.